I face fuck him to the point where he just cannot get enough as he's licking his cum off my throbbing cock.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another Saturday night. I don't even want to be here because I'm not actually recording this on a Saturday night and this isn't live, so I've just destroyed the illusion, which is usually Charlie's job, right?
Yeah, we're not here.
Kat is here, and she probably is actually here on a Saturday night, but she's traveling through time, so we're actually recording this on a different night. Let that fuck your mind, huh, Kat?
Yeah, see, I just got off the TARDIS with the doctor, and I'm only hoping that this recording comes in the correct order, because I don't know if the aliens have invaded yet or not, so just bear with me if it gets a little weird.
If she tells us how to stop the robots, then we might post it as an extra.
If you go back to the TARDIS, is that a retardus?
A retardus. I don't know, I'll ask him, the doctor, and I'll get back to you on that one.
I had a cousin who, like, wasn't retarded, but he was TARDIS.
He was Tardish.
Yeah.
Funny, you never would have known she was Druish just by looking at her.
She doesn't look Druish.
She's gone from suck to blow.
From speaking of suck to blow, you could go to adamandeve.com. I know you didn't set that up, but it was just perfect. You could go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code WHAT to get 10 free gifts. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. You just use the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. I know you didn't intend that, Kat, but it was just too perfect.
I love it when crap lines up like that.
Well, speaking about crap lining up, how about this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Charlie, if you saw a guy wearing a t-shirt that said, "Who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs," and he was arrested outside of a Kmart in Florida, what would you assume he was arrested for?
Drugs.
Okay, I thought you'd play along a little bit more.
That was my Charlie Sheen impression from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I would assume he was arrested for drugs, but if it's in front of a Kmart, that's like international waters for weird illegal activity.
International waters.
If you saw a guy arrested for drugs wearing a shirt that said, "Who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs," and it's from Florida, are you even surprised anymore?
Well, I mean, at that point in time, it's just a matter of what kind of drugs, not, you know, it's not like, oh, maybe it was drugs. No, this is like, I wonder how bad those drugs were. Like, was it, you know, just some marijuana, or was it crack cocaine?
It was pot. He was hanging out at the front entrance of the Kmart in front of the claw machines and those little egg bubble things that give out Nazi signet rings. The cop saw him, saw the shirt, and didn't think anything of it. And the guy saw the cop and, quote, freaked out and ran.
Panic.
What's the point of wearing a shirt that says, "Who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs," if you're a drug dealer? I mean, is that like a pseudo-clever deflection? Was this guy just asking to be nabbed?
He was either trying to hide in plain sight, or it was the most well-intentioned yet failed case of reverse psychology that's ever been attempted.
What's great is that it doesn't seem like the cops even cared until he ran away, and then they're like, "Well, that's suspicious."
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
That's almost as stupid as, okay, you guys know we always talk about, like, open carry and whatnot. Well, in Oregon, a man was, he had, you know, it's open carry. He was proud of his new Walter P-22 handgun that he was walking around with. And he was robbed of his new handgun by a man with a handgun. Seriously, he was approached by a man wearing flip-flops and sweatpants who asked for a cigarette. And then he said, "I like your gun. Give it to me." Pulled out a gun and stole the guy's new gun.
Oh, that's just sad. Oh, that's funny and sad.
But that also kind of comes, you know, this whole, you know what stops a bad guy with a gun? Good guy with a gun. Unless the bad guy with a gun takes the good guy's gun. Open carry,
idiots.
Unless
the bad guy with a gun is faster than the good guy with a gun.
I love sticking it to these open carry douchebags. They love to show off, "I got a gun, I got a gun." And then the people who aren't showing it off pull it out of their flip-flops and sweatpants and go, "So do I."
This is how I see this. The lower the cost of the other guy's gun when compared to the brand new gun that the guy was walking around with, the happier this makes me.
What I'm surprised about is that after how embarrassing this must have been, he went to the cops. You had to know that this was going to come back and bite you. I mean, this is that's almost like, you know, Ted Haster being against gays and coming out and, you know, being caught being gay. This is that kind of irony you can't make up, you know?
Yes, Ted Haggerty.
Ted Haggerty, sorry.
Yeah, I remember that. This reminds me a lot of that. I like it when people are failed by their own beliefs, especially when they're beliefs that they have been a gigantic asshole in order to enforce.
What do you think, Kat? Is this irony or is this...
Super irony.
Super irony, I guess.
Super irony. Mega irony. I just think it's funny because I think a lot of the open carry law isn't really having anything to do with deterring crime so much as showing off your shiny new extra penis. And somebody else is like, hey, yours is bigger than mine. I'm going to take that from you.
Would this technically then be rape?
It would be demasculating if nothing else.
One guy used his penis to take another guy's penis, then.
I don't know if it'd be rape, but at best it would be some kind of weird symbolic Freudian cuckold porn.
Something. It's just, that's funny.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about women's issues. Kat, did you see how Women's Day Magazine and Summer's Eve have teamed up to give you women tips on how to ask for a raise? The number one being, make sure you use Summer's Eve. Like, they're almost trying to say, don't rot down there is a good way to ask for a raise.
Make sure your vagina is nice and, like, polished and shiny and ready to go.
Nothing like a nice welcome mat to make people feel at home.
But, okay, if you're asking for a raise in an office environment, is this like dogs having to smell one another? I mean, is the smell of your vagina really going to be that much of a deterrent unless it's like something out of a bad cartoon with stink lines and shit?
I think it's more about personal comfort than anything else, but sure.
We have to point out that this Summer's Eve thing in Woman's Day is actually a paid advertisement for Summer's Eve, but they have made it look like an article in Woman's Day to fool you into thinking that Woman's Day and Summer's Eve are teaming up to give you fresh tips and that you didn't just read a page-long commercial.
About washing your vagina to get a raise at work.
As a woman, are you offended that this happened?
I'm offended anytime somebody tries to make advertising look like news or look like article or, you know, like some legit publication. That kind of offends me anytime. As a woman, I really don't fucking care because I don't read stupid magazines like that. If they want to, you know, fool stupid people who can't read the fine lines into thinking something, I mean, like, it's stupid. I'll grant you that. But I don't really blame the magazine for getting paid advertisements in a world of dying publications and print being dead and all. Like, I don't blame them for running the ad. I just think, like, this was something really, really stupid, and let's not talk about it anymore, and we go our separate ways, and we all learned a very valuable lesson.
Before we go our separate ways, I do got to point out, I swear this ad is written by a man. It should start with your usual routine and all the things you feel and all the things you do to feel your best, including showering with Summer's Eve Feminine Wash or throwing a packet of Summer's Eve Feminine Cleansing Cloths into your bag for a quick freshness pick-me-up during the day.
Hmm.
Only a man could write that!
That doesn't really happen. Like, so, well, that was certainly a nice lunch. Just let me go blot my hoo-ha and I'll be back at it.
It's such a thing that it's so oddly specific that trying to market it to a more general crowd is just kind of weird. Like, if you wanted to touch up your lipstick after lunch, that would be considered kind of normal. But to touch up your vagina, your other lipstick. It's like, that's not something that normal, like, that just normally happens. This whole suggestion that's part of your normal routine is, I don't know that I would say that's written by a man so much as it's written by a company who has one job, and all of those people who write this stuff, life revolves around that product.
So would it be fair if we said they're kind of douches?
They're kind of douches.
They're all kinds of douches.
All right, well then, how about we move to New Jersey? Nobody wants to move
to
New Jersey.
No, let's not move to New Jersey.
As long as we're knocking these segues out of the park. Speaking of douches.
Yeah, speaking of douchebags, how about Pastor Eric Damanen, Damman, Damn.
He is so homophobic, his last name is Damn Man.
Actually, this has nothing to do with homosexuality. This has to do with child abuse. He is a pastor in New Jersey, and he has posted a video about how he physically abused a child to bring him to Jesus. I'm going to quote. Ben, who was a nice kid, but one of those, you know, he was a real smart aleck. He was a bright kid, which didn't help things, made him more dangerous. We were outside one day at youth group, and he was just trying to push my buttons. He was just kind of not taking the Lord serious. So I walked over to him and went, bam! Punched him in the chest as hard as I could. I crumpled the kid. I just crumpled him. Then I leaned over and said, Ben, when are you going to stop playing games with God? I led that man to the Lord right there. Unquote.
I just can't believe he would publicly talk about punching the shit out of a kid and, you know, like being proud about it and admitting it in public when this is something you would get sued over. Good job. You have no defense left because you've admitted it in public.
Leave it to a Christian to treat a headache with heroin. I mean, I think the Christ-like way to do things would be to get him to take Jesus more seriously without causing physical pain because you're bigger. But whatever, you do you, buddy. You do you, damn man.
Did you notice one thing he said in here, though? He was a bright kid, which didn't help things.
So he's smart and thinks for himself, therefore he's dangerous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I noticed that specific wording there. I'm like, so what you're saying is you want stupid people because they're easier to keep in the flock?
He was showing signs of independent thought, and in the church, you gotta nip that shit in the bud.
Or punch it in the chest. When you're a 40-year-old man punching a 15-year-old, because that's right.
Hey, if you ever find something that's easier than wailing on a child, then I would like to know what it is, okay?
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Damn it.
There's a bigger issue here besides the child abuse. Is this what Christianity has now come to, that you have to physically abuse people until they believe? I'm going to read that quote there again. I brought this child to the Lord. No, you beat him into submission. That's not conversion. That's the kind of shit you get mad at Muslims for doing. Convert or die. Didn't we fight a whole crusade over this kind of bullshit?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think this is a new thing. I think it's been happening since the Crusades, since before the Crusades. I mean, that wasn't a fucking tickle fight. That was people using force to shove Jesus into other people.
Through the point of a spear.
Then it was a spear. Later on, it was going to be through fear tactics and homophobia. It still kind of is. Then later on, it was going to be about if you don't embrace Jesus, then the terrorists win. Christianity has always used force to convince people.
Doesn't this ring of desperation, though?
It always has.
I don't know. I mean, of course you're right here, but particularly seems like an isolated incident of a...
Damn, man!
Of a bad leader using, like, just getting pissed off, like, you know, like a kid who, you know, his... I swear I can speak. Like, it's a kid being a kid, and somebody who is, like, a parental figure just snapping and hitting the shit out of the kid and using Jesus to justify it. Because we're living in an age of I don't spank my children, and I tell them that they do a good job when they do anything at all. And we live in that age of helicopter parenting where your child is so special and nothing bad can ever happen to them and they do everything perfectly. Like beating a kid, I guess you could call this beating. Anyway, abusing a kid just seems kind of out of left field to me, anyway. I cannot talk tonight at all. It just seems too wild and crazy to really be like a normal thing. I don't think preachers at churches across the country are hitting children to get them to believe in God. It's not happening on a daily basis all over the place. It's not an epidemic. It's like, we live in an age of helicopter parenting. If one kid, you know, like calls another kid a mean name, and the kid goes home and cries to mommy, and then one parent is trying to sue the other parent.
Nanny state.
We also live in an age of people without senses of humor getting angry at smartasses. I mean, I've been
talking about that in the next segment. To a ridiculous
I've been dealing with that ever since I was a kid, and it looks like an obvious case of the 40-year-old man getting upset because a kid was that's smarter than him was making him look stupid.
But he was also proud of it. I crumpled that kid. I just crumpled him. Like, yeah, I can beat up a 15-year-old. I'm a man.
Yeah, he's trying to make himself seem more right, because he knows what happened. He knows he lost his cool. He got pissed off. He punched a kid and then tried to make it okay by saying it was for Jesus.
Or sticking with God. How about Winfield, Alabama? The Winfield, Alabama City Council, secretly, the people in Winfield didn't get to vote on this, voted in that the declaration that God is the owner of the city of Winfield and all of its holdings and inhabitants. So if you live in Winfield, Alabama, you are owned by God legally. You might want you might not be surprised. Some of the Winfield residents have a fucking issue with this.
Yeah, I mean, I could see getting pissed if that happened with my town and I wasn't even consulted or allowed to vote on it. It's kind of an unintentional insult to God by saying you own everyone in this Alabama town.
Like, why would God want to own any part of Alabama?
Exactly. Like, okay, yeah, like, hey, you want a town? It's in Alabama, though.
Well, here's a quote from Mayor Randy Price. I feel like we need to stand up for what is right. Our forefathers said one nation under God, and we went so far away from that. There are not enough godly people involved in day-to-day decisions. Whereas we acknowledge God as the owner of the city of Winfield and that it is a city under God, we acknowledge that at all times he is in control. Now, I want to point out something. Our forefathers said one nation under God. Actually,
no.
No, our nation under God was part of the Pledge of Allegiance, which was signed into law in 1854. Hardly our forefathers, so the guy doesn't even know the origin of his own fucking argument. Leaving that aside, that is some major arrogance. I, as the mayor, have declared that you are now under God's ownership. You know what, fucko? I'm a free spirit, not in the kooky way. I'm a free spirit. No one fucking owns me. If you want to pledge your allegiance to God, do so. But just like with Damn Man, this is forcing, no, God owns you. I have made that decision.
Does this mean everybody in that town automatically goes to heaven? Because you could get away with some shit if you were just like, well, you know, my town is owned by God, and so I'm owned by God, so I'm going to go to heaven no matter what. Might as well burn some places down. Might as well kill some children. Could... Beat some children.
You could be like the villain in Lethal Weapon 2 who had diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity! Bam, bam! Revoked!
You could get away with all kinds of shit, man. That's right. I don't know. I don't like these people, though. I think when you're making a decision like that, you're saying everyone in this town is going to believe in God. I'm making this decision right now. Just say in straightforward English that you don't want people to have freedom of religion. I still wouldn't agree with it, but I would at least respect that if you were being that direct about it. You do not want people.
Your balls.
I don't even know how this can be legal. I mean, like, even though it's not like it doesn't carry legal ramifications, how they can even do this on a city council level? Because isn't that the literal definition of destroying the wall between separation of church and state?
So I talked about this on my other podcast, and we brought up the idea of this would actually be a phenomenal social experiment. Wait until, like, the weather gets really bad, go to a municipal city-owned park, slip on some ice, and then now you're going to sue somebody, but the town is owned by God, so now you have to sue God.
That's brilliant. I'm not kidding. That's fucking brilliant.
I think that would be a really great way to show how fucking stupid this is. Also, I think it would be really great if a town like that, where it's like, we're owned by God, this city is guided by God and protected by God, and I think it needs to be hit by a hurricane.
No, what I want to do is, I want to round up thousands of frogs and then take a helicopter over Winfield and just rain frogs all over the town. It would
like,
be expensive, but
now?
It would be worth it. It would be expensive, but it would be worth it, damn it.
Okay, if you bring the plane and the frogs, I will bring my Amy Mann mixtape, and we will make this shit happen.
I want to go out on one final quote from Mayor Price. I'm going to step on a lot of people's toes, but there's not but one God, and that one God, to him be the glory. There's no other way. There's no other God. There are a lot of religions, but there is only one God. Unquote. Hey, Price, get fucked. Or should I say, go to hell.
Go to hell.
Go to hell and get fucked. You're
well,
covered,
you live
buddy.
In Alabama, so you're already pretty close to hell.
Yeah, so now just get fucked.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse. The need for hard drugs to be totally illogical, 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 illogical.
Welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. We are in the, is this the second episode of 2015, Josh?
This would be the second episode of 2015, and I just want to point out, Hart Fisher is the true hot child in the city.
Yeah, right. For folks who didn't know, I just got booked to appear in Chicago. I'm an official guest of the Mad Mobster True Crime and Horror Expo. I'm being flown in as an official guest of the show. I'm very excited about this. I believe that me and John Borowski are going to do a screening of Serial Killer Culture. We'll most likely do a panel and a Q&A. I haven't gotten a confirmation on that, but I think that's what it's about. It won't be like the old days where I'd show up and I'd have a vendor booth and I'd be at the booth all weekend getting loaded and having the boneyard bitches there. It's a whole other thing. I'm a guest of the show, so I won't be at the booth the whole time. I'll be, you know, have signing times and be on panels and do all that stuff. And I've got a lot of business meetings coming up because things are really heating up for American Horrors. NAPTIA is happening next week in Miami. I have a syndication team. We have entered into an agreement with a really amazing company called ATV Broadcast that is now in charge of syndicating all of our programming around the world. And this is a serious company. They've been around for 20 years. These guys, Josh has been very patient waiting for me to get off the phone with my main guy over there because there's a whole sales team heading out to Miami representing American Horrors, and we are their big horror company. They're new to horror content. And I'm really excited about this. These guys have represented Raycom Media, Northwest Broadcasting, West Virginia Media Holdings, the Commonwealth, London Broadcasting, big, big, big company. And then we have a deal with Apex Media. American Horrors is the very first online streaming channel to enter an agreement with Apex Media, which is a 20-year vet of the broadcast and cable industry that represents media on more than 500 broadcast stations and cable networks. So they are going to be in charge of bringing us the direct marketing advertising people have seen most recently on American Horrors with Henry Repeating Rifles, Proactive Plus, Gerber. Dude, I can't believe how many people have been picking up Gerber life insurance from the spots on American Horrors. The people at ATV and the people at Apex have been a fucking dream, dude. It's been absolutely amazing. Business is exploding over here at American Horrors, and I'm pumped, man. I'm having a hard time sleeping at night. I'm so excited about all the good things happening in my career and in my business.
So this is the same kind of direct marketing like I used to always see on TNT, like at 3 in the morning, except instead of the Garden Mole and Engelbert Humperdinck records, it's something actually relevant.
Yeah, and you know, we handpicked this advertising, guys. Unlike the other TV networks that'll batter you with abused dog spots and wounded lion spots, oh, because they sell so well. I don't want to look at that shit, bro. We haven't booked these. We've been booking things that I can believe in, that I think are decent products, you know, the Proactive Plus, the Gerber life insurance. These are things that I think are a better thing to have on your network. We hand select these things. We look at scheduling American Horrors the way we look editing a movie, and we consider it the flow. So we look at the network in blocks of hours, and we are cutting it together as if it was a film. So we personally select what commercials go where. That isn't a faceless company doing that. That's myself and my wonderful partner at American Horrors, Waka. We have picked up so many cool new things that I haven't announced. You know, like I haven't really talked about Necrophagia. We signed a deal with Necrophagia to get a bunch of their catalog of really awesome music videos that are directed by like guys like Coffin Joe and Mad Men. That I'm just so excited with the content that we're booking, and the Mission Terror show, the paranormal show that we booked. This week is the last episode of the season. We, you know, had 2 months of great shows. It got a really good review on BloodyDisgusting.com. BloodyDisgusting.com has really been great about singling us out and promoting us. It's been really nice. And also, dude, I'm really stoked because we just got reviewed. Serial Killer Culture, a documentary that I'm in, got reviewed by Rumorg. In the newest issue of Rumorg, there's a great review on Serial Killer Culture, which has also been reviewed in Psychology Today, which is really mind-blowing. And in all these reviews, I'm being mentioned, and it's in a positive way.
Well, let's turn this away from a promo. Is there anything going on in the world that's pissing you off right now?
Dude, I'm not there, you know? I've been cleaning up my house.
Literally and like, figuratively.
Yeah, literally and figuratively. You know, I've been cleaning up my world, and I've been rethinking a lot about what I'm doing with Heart Attack. Long-term listeners can tell, you know, dude, he's not drunk on a Jack and Coke for 10 minutes no more. I take Heart Attack very, very seriously. We've made a big difference in people's lives. The show has made a difference in my life, and it has allowed me to talk to some really amazing people. And so I'm taking the show a lot more seriously this year. We're going to be booking some big guests, and I'm going to be, you know, keep mixing up the idea of news and also interviewing people I think are interesting and people that I think have value. The first episode of the hour-long Heart Attack this year is going to be an interview with my mother. And it's not a chance to talk to my mom. I wanted to talk to her about her experiences with sexual harassment as a woman in the workplace who's been in the workplace since the 60s.
And that was back in the day when a smack on the ass and, hey, honey, get me a coffee was just the way things worked.
Yeah, so her interview is mind-blowing, actually. Her interview is really, really solid. That's going to be the hour-long Heart Attack that precedes this episode. I'm really impressed. The more I get to talk with my mom about her history in a professional setting, she always blows me away. She always surprises me, and that's a big part of why I think I like strong women. I'm into strong women. I think any listener who has heard the show can tell that a lot of our guests, you know, I'm a tremendous fan of theirs. I'm a big fan of Dr. DeMars. I'm a big fan of a lot of the ladies that we've brought on here, and I think that they keep trying the mass media machine and the government. They keep trying to get us to fight with each other and pit us against each other. And there's nothing more powerful than the couple of man and woman. When a man and a woman is paired up together, that's powerful. When you've got a real couple working together, it's powerful. You get a family that's working together. That's the Holy Trinity right there. And so I'm going to be, you know, kind of examining a lot of these issues on Heart Attack, and not so extremely, not so fuck, man, fuck, dude, fuck. Because things are really really happening for me, and I'm trying to take advantage of that. There's some things going on where there's some possibilities of expanding Heart Attack. There's some possibilities of bringing in new advertisers to Heart Attack. There's a lot of great things happening with American Horrors, and I'm actually talking to investors for the first time. I am developing a horror show that I'm going to write and I'm going to direct. I'm looking at writing probably the first season. It's a horror show that I want to do. I've been watching what's happening on network television, and I feel that it's time for me to get back in the director's chair and the writer's chair and to get involved in that party, to get in there and cause some trouble and fucking mix things up a bit. So I've got this series. If people want to get involved, if people want to get in the horror industry, if they want to have their content shown on American Horrors, you can contact me on Twitter. We're on there as Heart Attack Radio. That's H-A-R-T, Heart Attack Radio. We're also up there as Heart_Fisher. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. Find me. Submit your material to me. I want to see your material. I want to see what film you made. I want to see what short you made. I want to see what band, you know, what music video your band has made. I want to get these submissions and check them out, because now is the time. The real world horror revolution is at ramming speed, and we are ready to take over the entire horror industry. And it's going to happen, folks. If you're gonna scream with me, well, lift up the devil
lift. When you cream, drink, cling, no bed, and there's nothing left inside. Ooh, baby, when you cry, your past is momentary. You have to look beyond this cover. In every moment, give me a moment. Give me a moment. Give me a moment. Ooh, baby, when you cry, your past is momentary. You have to look beyond this cover. In every moment, give me a moment. In every moment, give me a moment. In every moment, give me a moment.
We were having some fun with the religious nonsense. How about a different type of religious nonsense? There's no way we cannot talk about the Charlie Hebdo massacre. For those that don't know, Charlie Hebdo was a French satire magazine, kind of the equivalent of The Onion over here. They don't just attack jihadists or Islam. They skewer everybody. Well, the Islamists finally had had enough of how many times they had depicted the Prophet Muhammad, which in the Quran, even depicting or describing Muhammad is a killable offense. It is a death-worthy offense. Couple of nuts went into Charlie Hebdo's offices and gunned them down, killing 12 people and wounding 4. Now, these same people had tried to burn down Charlie Hebdo's offices back in 2011. They firebombed them. So this created a big fervor over the line between satire and safety. Then today, the day we are recording this, a German newspaper that was trying to reprint the Charlie Hebdo comics in question was firebombed. At the time we're recording this, there's been no reports of death or damage. The American press has flipped their shit either way too far to the left or way too far to the right. What do you guys think about this whole incident? Charlie, since you're a comedian, I'm going to go to you first.
Well, it's hard to establish what the left and the right are with an issue like this, because I can understand a lot of what's being said by the American media. Because yes, it's one thing to make a stand for your rights, in this case it would be the right to freedom of speech, so you have to defend that, but not if it's going to kill people. I mean, you have to look at each case as it is, you know what I mean?
But are you not letting the jihadists win? We warned you about depicting Muhammad. You did it again. You got killed. Then if you give in, are you not giving them exactly what they wanted? You're letting the chilling effect take effect, aren't you?
Kind of. That's where the ambiguity comes in, because that there is a degree of truth to that. I would be letting the jihadists win if we stop running pictures of Muhammad out of fear of being firebombed. However, I don't give a shit who wins if it's going to prevent more people from dying. You know what I mean?
I have a different feeling, but
I think, and maybe this is just me, but it's a little more simple than letting the terrorists win, or even public safety. It's more like, oh shit, they firebombed that place. Oh, it would cost so much to repair this place if we also were set on fire. I don't know. Maybe that's a little cold, but I think that's some of the line of reasoning that goes into it is we really don't want to take the chance of putting people in danger because of how expensive it would be to fix stuff, or we could potentially get sued by our own employees by putting them in danger. And really, it's just not worth the risk.
See, I disagree with that. I say freedom, especially freedom of speech, is absolutely worth the risk. You can never let outside forces dictate what you are going to do, what you are going to say. Otherwise, freedom does not exist. You cannot let any kind of extremism win. It's like when Comedy Central, South Park had that episode where they were going to depict Muhammad and they got all these threats, and Comedy Central immediately backed down and said, we've got thousands of employees in this building. What they literally said, not in these terms, but was, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, your freedom of expression is not worth our company. And that pissed me off on a core level. It's the same thing with this Charlie Hebdo thing. It's come out that even the Associated Press, the Associated Press is the news organization that news organizations get their news from, will not depict the Charlie Hebdo comics in question because they are afraid. When BuzzFeed, fucking BuzzFeed, the most insipid, pointless, worthless website on the internet, is the only place that has the balls to show these cartoons, there's something fucking wrong with the American news media.
But that's not fair, because BuzzFeed isn't someplace where you know that it's, you know, like there's a publisher and here's where they print it and here's where they write it. BuzzFeed is more like a online kind of company.
Yeah, they can't firebomb a headquarters that does not exist anywhere.
I'm sure there's a building where a lot of these people work out of that you can find the address of.
There's a good chance that there's not, though. And, like, if I were editor-in-chief of the German paper that got firebombed, I would not have run the cartoons because, yes, I personally value freedom of speech almost more than anything else in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, anything. I think freedom of speech is important. I am willing to die for freedom of speech. I'm not willing to put the lives of other people that work in that building at risk for my belief.
That's it. That's it right there.
Well, they should have that choice. I don't think, you know, either of you are wrong in that. That the employees, using the Comedy Central example, they should have been told, hey, while the heat is on, we're going to give you guys extended vacation. If you want to work, you can. Scabs working at a factory during a strike. You know the risks. So I'm not saying you should unintentionally put people's lives at risk. I'm saying if they know the risks and they believe in freedom of speech, they should be able to come to work, not some corporate douchebag going, no, it's too expensive. Parker and Stone, screw you. You don't get to do your thing.
You can't just pretend like you know that, okay, well, we're going to publish this. So if you're uncomfortable with that, don't come in tomorrow, because the repercussions can take place at any time. It could go on for weeks or months. And you can't just say, well, you know, just don't come in for a couple of days.
Yeah, jihadist terrorists are
you're telling people about
schedule.
You're telling people that if you don't want this, then you don't need to work for a few days and you don't need to make money and you don't need to provide for your families, but you can come in and maybe die and that would be okay. Like, there's not enough assurance there to actually run a fucking business. They're businesses made up of human beings whose lives they want to try and protect, but they're still businesses and they have to maintain some sort of, I don't know, business model. They can't just have all of their employees take a break whenever they feel like it, because they're going to run something that might offend somebody and then they might get bombed.
But then the other part of this is that, let's go to the Sony hack in the interview. Now, it's been almost completely disproven that it was not North Korea. So just for this example, for the first couple of days when everyone thought it was North Korea that was threatening to, quote, have 9/11 style attacks on theaters that were showing the interview, all of the theaters ended up pulling out. But then you are letting a foreign government decide what you can and cannot show.
That's dumb.
That's the same way here. I mean, yes.
No, it's not the same thing.
Jihadists are not.
It's not even close to the same thing. There's a huge difference between a nutball country like North Korea, who hasn't really gone out of their way to actually get off of their high horse and actually hurt people because they're too far away from all of these targets that they keep talking about. So they just, like, you know, throw missiles at the ocean. There's a difference between them.
I'm sorry,
and
just the way you worded that was funny. Sorry. I'm not trying to undercut what you're saying. I just thought that was funny.
It's what they do. They just send some missiles out vaguely towards Japan, let it
huck
float
it
in the air or the water.
Really hard. Maybe it'll make it.
Versus, okay, here's all of these people. There's already a pile of bodies. That's an immediate threat. Versus North Korea, who is just the world's joke.
And see, I don't agree with you. Your side has merit. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm saying I don't agree, though. You are letting, and now they're not a nation, but you are letting the Muslim world, or at least the extremist Muslim world, decide what you can and cannot say. It's the same thing that the Christians try to do over here in America. You know, you got Christian extremists. I have decided as a Christian extremist, I will kill an abortion doctor to save babies. You are foisting your will onto others and telling them what they can and cannot do. And I think that is worth dying for.
Yeah, but again, it's not worth putting other... You make that choice. It is not worth putting other people's lives in danger for, because they might not necessarily feel the same way. If you want to do that, you're enforcing that idea on your employees as a company.
You know, like here, what I want to do is I want to make a gay porn where I get an actor to play Mohammed. I face fuck him to the point where he just cannot get enough as he's licking his cum off my throbbing cock. And then I want to send that out to the entire Muslim world. And here's my address, 529 West Maple Street, Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, 54235. Give me your worst, fuckos.
Well, I live on 525 East Maple Street, so I want to, like, emphasize that you said West Maple Street. I don't know. I don't think that's too far, because that's just an example of you visually representing your beliefs as well. I kind of am coming from the same place as Kat, though, because as long as we're using North Korea and the interview as an example, not seeing the interview in theaters on Christmas was worth people not dying, even though we know now nobody was going to die, because I will make fun of North Korea and laugh harder than anyone. I mean, you're right, they do throw missiles at the ocean. They're just trying to get it into the current so it'll maybe get to Japan, like a bottle with a message inside.
Okay, for the whole missile throwing thing, do you think they're just getting ready for the Olympics, just seeing how far they can huck this thing?
Ooh, it's like a shot put kind of thing. We gotta get that upper arm strength going.
I think of it like a caper toss. Like, I'm imagining Kim Jong-un in a kilt and I'm falling on my ass laughing. I do believe in freedom of speech, but I don't think people should willfully put their own lives at risk just to make a point when there are no winners. The terrorists don't win. We don't win. There are no winners in this. There's only people hurting people because they don't like what they did.
Well, I think with all the American companies that are afraid to reprint these things now, I'm calling Larry Flint Publications tomorrow. If any American company has the balls to reprint these, it's going to be LFP, isn't it?
Probably. And I'm not really going to care if they do. I love cartoons too. Like, I'm interested in cartoons just as an art form, but it's not that big of a deal for me to see them. It's definitely not worth people dying, because if Larry Flint does run the cartoons and his offices get firebombed and you're there picking up money for an article and you die, I'm going to be really sad that you're dead. And I'm not going to give a shit that Larry Flint got to run the cartoons.
But then there are different side effects to this outside of the Muslim extremism, the Christian extremism and how they reacted to it. I'm going to read two actual tweets from Rupert Murdoch, the head of News Corp. So the head of Fox News. OK,
I'm surprised
he
has a Twitter.
What he has to say.
And the fact that there is a major typo in one of these leads me to believe this is actually Rupert Murdoch and not some paid guy that runs his Twitter account. OK.
He's from Australia. They have different education there.
Maybe most Muslims, he spells Muslims wrong, maybe most Muslims peaceful, but until they recognize and destroying their growing jihadist cancer, they must be held responsible. Then the second tweet. Big jihadist danger looming everywhere from Philippines to Africa to Europe to U.S. Political correctness makes for denial and hypocrisy. Now, outside of the broken English, which was probably due to the character limit, and the misspelled Muslims, that was probably due to ignorant stupidity.
That was probably due to him being 500 years old.
The whole thing is, Fox News as a channel immediately jumped on how Obama is weak because of the Charlie Hebdo attacks. Because Obama said these are disgusting acts of terror. Fox News jumped on Obama for not saying acts of Muslim terror. That these are Fox News for almost three days now, have been going off about why will nobody say Islamic terror? Why will nobody say Muslim terrorists? These are not just terrorists, they're Muslim terrorists. They are determined to make this Muslim. Yet when, say, a psychopath firebombs an abortion clinic, these are the same people that immediately go, whoa, 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 he's not a Christian terrorist. Not all Christians are like this. Do you think that that's the way the majority of America looks at this, is when it's Christian terrorism, it's an isolated incident. When it's Muslim terrorism, well, that's the way all Muslims are.
yes-ish. They just, God, this is just so stupid. It's sort of like how it's not really like a gay wedding or a gay marriage. It's just marriage between people. It's like that. You don't have to put a label on it just because it makes you feel better or makes you feel justified in being uncomfortable with it. Saying that Islamic terrorist, it doesn't matter who perpetuated it. It's still fucking terrorism. You don't need to put a little addendum on it to make yourself feel better for hating brown people. You really don't.
Are you remotely surprised at all that Fox News would find some way to blame Obama for this, though?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, there was a lot of outcry because Obama didn't go to France. And I'm like, why would he fucking go to France in France's time of need? France
After
needs to
9/11,
be paying
attention. The French president didn't come here.
Right? Like, how weak do you want to make the French president look in their country's time of need by having fucking Obama show up and ruin everything? When a president goes somewhere, it takes a lot to do it. And like, this is not a time for, the security and all of this other stuff to just like take up time and space. And you need to coordinate with the French, and they've got more important things to deal with right now. We don't need our president to go over there just to make ourselves feel like we fix all of the problems. Like, Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord.
The one true God, Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
I don't know. I think Fox News is latching on to the one thing about any story that can mention what a terrible job President Obama is doing, because that's what they do. I just say news organization Fox News. I don't say racist and retarded news organization Fox News, because I know that not everybody there is racist and retarded. Most of them are, but not all of them.
And Mike Kelly is really hot.
Calling them a news organization is a little giving.
It's a little insensitive to other news organizations, I know. It's a very tight line you have to walk. I think the one guy on Fox News, Josh, what is his name? He's like their token liberal. He was on an episode of Louis.
The guy that used to be with Hannity, Alan Combs?
I don't think it was Alan Combs. But anyway, whoever's listening to this, see if you can find it on YouTube. There's a clip of Louis C.K. being interviewed on Fox News as part of his show. He was on Fox News to defend masturbation. The guy in that clip is the one guy in Fox News stopping me from referring to them as racist and retarded whenever I mention them.
Well, but there's another angle here, too. The extremists, they ran from the scene, and the French police eventually tracked them down. And while they were negotiating with them via a hostage situation, they said that they wanted to be martyrs, so they wanted the French police to kill them. And otherwise they would, they would consider surrendering and whatnot. And I started thinking, when you're surrendering to the French, how far have you fallen?
Well, we go for the cheap puns here.
Yeah, exactly. But there's the other issue of using this tragedy, which didn't even happen in our country, as a way to try and enact policy in our country. That idiot Brian Kilmeade on Fox News said that this is a perfect example of why we need more guns and a more militarized police force in America. Because if you watch the video of the massacre, there was a whole bunch of employees on the roof videoing the whole thing with their cell phones as they were hiding. In the French police don't carry guns. So they were literally outgunned, and they had no chance. Brian Kilmeade starts going off on about how America should start having a show of force. We should have more militarized police and put them on every corner just to show people, if this happened here, we'd be ready. Isn't that absolutely 100% missing the fucking point?
It is 100% missing the fucking point. They're focused on all the wrong things. Like, they didn't even say the French police should have guns like the American police do. They said, we should be over there in France with our American guns shooting people that they can't because they don't have guns. You cannot call yourself with a straight face, in perfect health, fair and balanced, if you use every news story to push your own agenda. This is why Fox News is so laughable. This is why most of American media is so laughable, which, by extension, makes America itself laughable in the eyes of the rest of the world. People need to stop caring so much about whatever self-serving bullshit they're spouting about. People need to step back, see the bigger picture.
Yes, everything that Charlie just said. it's so typically American to take any foreign story, something going on in somewhere else in the world, and to make it about themselves, and then to take those stories and tragedies and then try and push an agenda on it. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. Shut the fuck up and just acknowledge that a tragedy has occurred, and don't try and pretend like this is all a way of demonstrating some point that you want to find there. Man, if Sherlock Holmes were here, he would have a shit fit about all of these people using evidence to not, like, using non-facts to call it evidence to support a theory that, you know what I'm saying here.
Isn't that how we got into
Iraq? Yes.
Well, now, the last thing I want to talk about with this whole thing is, in 2015, we're still worried about this whole jihadist thing, this whole depicting Mohammed thing. I mean, does anyone else remember in 1987 with the Satanic Verses how to this day Salman Rushdie still has a fatwa on him? He still cannot go anywhere without having security around him because he still has a fatwa on his head from the Muslim world because he wrote a book? Really? We're still doing this after the Danish cartoonists and all this shit? Is it just me? Or do you think we would have been past this bullshit by now? This is the age of the internet when you can find a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fucking My Little Pony. Is really depicting Muhammad or talking about Muhammad, why is this still a flashpoint?
Oh, that's a kind of a complicated question that probably deserves, I don't know, smarter people than us, that's for sure. This is, it's sort of like the conservatives. This is a whole lot of people in power in places where religion is law, and why should that change for them when it gives them all the power and makes them feel righteous? Why would they ever want things to change? And that's why things don't change, because not enough people want it, and the people who do want it don't have the power, and that's probably why they want the change. So it's really hard for the areas where all of this sort of breeds, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but it originates in those areas is where the least amount of change is happening, and change comes at a price, and not a lot of people are Malalas who are willing to pay the price. So yeah, this is going to stick around for a few more years. Given what it is, it's probably going to stick around for a few more centuries. In the same way that homophobia and racism are still around, because the people who were raised on this shit are still alive. And until all of these old white men in Congress fucking die out and we get some young blood in there, we're still going to have homophobic laws and racist laws and all that other stuff.
I remember when that shit was happening with Salman Rushdie, and because I was really young, like, learning about it, and I remember thinking, so this guy wrote a book that these people didn't like. Why? Well, because it was really offensive to their religion. Okay, so their religion was called into question by some other dude, so they were going to kill him because he said that our God wasn't a peaceful God. Yeah, pretty much. I was like, okay, I'm checking out then. And then I just got on with my life. I don't know, man. I just think all religion is violent if you're going to fucking kill everyone who doesn't share it.
Is there really that much of a difference, though, between Islam and Christianity at this point?
To me, there's no difference between any of them. It's all a case of you're born into this world, you feel awkward around other people, so you need an identity, and religion is always there. So many people go to religion first because it's there. It's people clinging to their sense of identity, even if you have to hurt other people to do it. I think people are that in need of something to believe in that they'll be the biggest pricks they can.
I think insecure is the word you wanted there.
Insecure is a good word. People are afraid to not have an answer to everything. You know what I mean? People get scared if they think for a minute that there is no God, that all of this shit is all our own fault. It's all our own doing.
Where can we find the cat on a much happier note? And where can we find the cat publishing whatever she wants?
You can find me at my finest on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And then you can also find me on some of my other shows, because I do so many podcasts. Thespian Talk at rtgomer.com and Nerd to the Third Power over at channelawesome.com.
You remembered for once.
I did, because I already had a podcast today, so I had warm up.
I was going to say, did you write it down?
No. That's why there was still a big pause.
Well, Charlie, if people want to firebomb you, where could they do so?
Preferably at the gas station where I work. Just make sure you scorch the earth and just do it right if you're going to do it at all, you know?
Charlie, you need to go out with a bang.
Yeah, a big one. But you can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Geek Juice Media, where if you wanted to, you could download my album Zen as Fuck for free.
Which you should.
Thank you very much, man. Coming soon to Geek Juice Media in a few months is going to be a new show, The Theater of High Culture, with Charlie McMullen and John Brown.
That just sounds damning. Well, and you can find me at 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Go to the website, buy some t-shirts, click on some links, and I really am going to try and get that movie made because I think I need to piss off more people.
In order to form a more perfect union, stop pretending that you've never been bad. You're never wrong and you've never been dirty. You're such a saint, that ain't the way we see you. Ah, you are a ruler with an iron hand. You change the lyrics and become Big Brother. This ain't Russia, you ain't my dad or mother. Walk away from what I know is right.
the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.